Guys, let's finish up this book. Last few pages of the Four Agreements. The last section is called Prayer for Love on page 134. And we are going to end this book on page 138. So this goes into a dream. It says at the bottom of 134, a dream that you're going to love to have all the time. And in this dream, you are in the middle of a beautiful, warm, sunny day. Basically, what happens is, you know, you come across this old guy meditating at a river. This is a visual kind of experience to think about, and more of like a, you know, kind of a, as I'm talking about it, you know, taking in the senses, you know, kind of like you do when you're dreaming or even daydreaming. You notice that this old man is having all this light radiating out of him, and you ask him to teach you what he's doing. He's got this big smile, his eyes seem kind, and it says full of love on the top of page 135. And the old man begins to tell the story. So this is part of the quote of what he says. My teacher opened his chest and took out his heart, and he took a beautiful flame from his heart. Then he opened my chest, opened my heart, and he put that little flame inside it. He put my heart back in my chest, and as soon as my heart was inside me, I felt intense love, because the flame he put in my heart was his own love. The flame grew in my heart and became a big, big fire. A fire that doesn't burn, but it purifies everything it touches. Then on page 136, it goes into saying that, you know, the fire kept burning, and, you know, and this person who now has this new flame, you know, had a need to share that love. And that word kind of popped out at me, like a need to do it. Like sometimes it's like when you have things that you're like, oh, I'm gonna work on this project or work on this, you know, you have like an interest, some motivation towards doing something, you know, a resolution that's like, let's see like what happens with this. Like it's something maybe I know I need for myself to like make some changes, but you know, maybe let's see what happens with that. But he goes talking about how he put a little piece of his love in pretty much every part of nature, trees, flowers, you know, into every crystal, the dirt, the metals, river, rain, snow, sky, sun. And into humanity. On 137, it says, wherever I go, whomever I meet, I see myself in their eyes, because I am a part of everything, because I love. And then it says, the old man opens his own chest, takes out his heart and that beautiful flame inside, and puts that flame in your heart. So then it's kind of like passing it on. And the book ends with this prayer of thankfulness to the Creator for the gift of life. A lot of gratitude and thankfulness in this prayer, these last two paragraphs of the book on page 138. Giving of every need, and for body and mind, and for living with love on our insides, and for the Creator's pure and boundless spirit and warm and radiant light. And for the use of, I guess, the author's words and use of eyes and heart to share the Creator's love. And showing love toward the Creator for who they are, and for being a creation of the Creator, and showing love to one's own self and request for help to keep the love and peace in my heart, and to make that love a new way of life that I may live in love and love the rest of my life. Amen. And the book has some, on page 139 and 140, it says, also by Don Miguel Ruiz. It has other books: The Four Agreements Companion Book, Four Agreements Illustrated Edition, The Circle of Fire, Voice of Knowledge, The Mastery of Love, Toltec Wisdom Card Decks. It has 48 illustrated cards. Page 140, the very, very last page before the jacket. The Fifth Agreement, The Four Agreements Toltec Wisdom Collection, The Four Agreements for a Better Life. And it also has, it says also available in Spanish for some of those books. So that's the end of the book, guys. The end of The Four Agreements. It took a while to finish that. I read some other books that I think maybe it made more sense to read three pages or so at a time. This book, I think, would have maybe been better to read it one section at a time, but I think it kind of sunk in a little bit better to just do a few pages, but I wasn't fast at it, and I had a gap. But, you know, the end of the book, you know, talking about prayer, talking about love, I do know that is something that I feel like a lot of routines, a lot of people's practices, a lot of, even for myself, you know, a lot of times it's like that is out the window, you know. Like, I even notice for myself sometimes it's like I can get pretty self-absorbed in things, worrying about, you know, what's gonna happen the next day, or like how something didn't go right, or how I gotta hustle tomorrow, and like I gotta really be on point for like this gig, and like really need to be like sharp, and like, you know, and like all my focus and energy goes into kind of just like maintaining my energy as far as like sharpness and being able to like work at a fast pace and not burn out. And, you know, if there's time to kind of work on my body and energy to do so with like exercise or the foods that I eat, like it's very much like I do notice that I'm very much like from the time I wake up, I'm like, all right, first thing, one of the first things I think in the morning is like, how do I feel? And if I don't feel like rested, kind of like my mind is like moving like how I want it to, like before I have any like Vita Shroom mix or cacao or coffee or tea or whatever I'm having in the morning, like if I don't feel like I'm really sharp and moving in the morning, I'm already like slightly worried about how the day's gonna go, because I already know I don't feel good enough to really start my day, but I need my day to start. For my own routine, I'd say how my routine is different than most people's routines is I like to be busy kind of before breakfast, do something before breakfast. So something like this, like either, you know, if there's a book that's something on a topic that I want to reflect on, if there's something I want to podcast about, something I want to journal about or like look into or study about, I'll usually do that in the morning before breakfast, right after some coffee. But I would say even before I get up and make something to kind of like get my brain gears kind of, you know, working a little bit better, the first thing I do is that kind of like emotional and like mental assessment. I wake up and I'm just like laying there and I'm like, all right, because I can tell if I feel sharp, I can tell if I feel kind of like foggy. Like, I'll try to like think about certain things and I'll be like, am I focused? Do I feel like I'm focusing? Do I feel like I'm, because in the morning, my brain really doesn't always focus too well. But do I feel like it's at a level where it's like, okay, like, is it like at the okay level, or is it like, I'm struggling to even like think about what I want to do? And I try to plan out how I want my morning to look, what I'm going to do for the rest of my day, kind of what order I'm going to do that in. I mean, sometimes, you know, my head's so foggy, I can't even really get there. And sometimes even if it is foggy, I will still wake up and still start my day. Yesterday, I had a weird day because I woke up and was pretty foggy, pretty groggy. And, you know, I got up early and I was, I don't know how, like at 9:30 a.m. I like randomly just like fell back to sleep. I had C4 yesterday morning, a little bit of it, like at least a little third of a scoop of it. And I was like, how am I falling asleep again? Like, it was really weird. I was like, how am I falling asleep? Like, seriously? So I literally went back to bed. I literally knocked back out to sleep for maybe max like 30 minutes to an hour. I don't really know how long it was. I want to say it was nearly an hour. But I was like, wow. Like, I was listening to the new Iced Coffee Hour with Graham Stephan and Jack were interviewing Caleb Hammer. They're kind of like millennial generation finance YouTubers. And, you know, I've been tracking their businesses since they started. So I like listening to that kind of stuff. And it's, like, productive to hear successful people talk about what they do. And since I was, you know, in on what they were doing from the ground level, it's, like, I kind of learn a lot from just, like, their methods. But, yeah, I would say I do not think I wake up and I'm thinking about, like, how do I share love and this flame and all this kind of stuff, and like, how am I gonna like use that? And I'm not waking up necessarily. I mean, there are probably times when I do, but it's not a practice of mine lately to be waking up and having prayers of like thankfulness and gratitude and requesting, you know, prayers of like, you know, maybe I need help on this. Usually if I'm praying for myself, for my own schedule, usually it's before I go to bed, and it's usually more of like reflecting on my day. So I'm wondering how it would be to kind of wake up with more of like a prayerful mindset, like even thinking about, you know, I'm not saying that I don't think about other people. I'm not necessarily saying that, but I'm very consumed in the morning with like, how am I gonna get myself through today? Like, not in like a, not like I can't do it, it's too hard, but like, I'm aware of how I am when I wake up, and I'm usually like, if I feel like there's going to be some kind of obstacle with it, because sometimes there's an obstacle with it, I'm trying to like problem solve that early, so I'm not just like waking up, getting out of bed without a game plan and like running around my morning, you know. And that's why I like to get up early. I don't like to sleep in until the bell, you know, and like then be running around, because then it's like I don't even, you know, I'll forget things. I'll be like, I haven't drank water, you know. It'll be noon and I'll be like, I haven't drank any water today, or like I forgot to have coffee, or forgot to put on deodorant, or like something like that, you know. It's like I'll be a little more forgetful if I don't just sit. Like I have to like sit there for a while and like plan out, kind of like a, have like a game plan. Like I usually have a game plan in general for my week, like how much money am I going to make, which days am I going to be the busiest, which days do I need the most energy, meaning which days am I going to sleep really early and have a good sleep hygiene routine, you know. Sometimes, and then there are other days where I'm like, which days am I going to stay up late and maybe learn funny, fun stuff, like study fun stuff, maybe like, you know, if there's some local music, you know, because I'm in LA, it's like there's live music all over the place. Like, is there something I can pop into and like check it out? Like, is there some place I could go? Is there anything I could like do that's like interesting, you know, that I would maybe like or enjoy being involved with? What's kind of going on? Is there anything that I kind of, just something I have, like, that I want to kind of, like, get up to, you know? Is there anything I want to get up to? And you know, I'll kind of, like, plan my week that way. It doesn't always go exactly as planned, but, you know, that's usually the thought behind it, is like, you know, I want it to go a certain way, really. And I find it to be, you know, pretty, like it's it's pretty enjoyable, you know. Like, I have rocky times, like, for sure. I talk about them. Lately, the last few days, since probably about Saturday or so, things have definitely been looking up for me. Especially because the back pain is, like, decreasing significantly, so I'm feeling okay again, like functional, like I can drive and like sit again. So I'm still taking it easy, incorporating some of that like stretching exercise and trying to get a little more strengthened so I can actually get back at least to a basic yoga routine. I don't think I'm there yet, but I think that's going to be, I'm probably going to have to rely on yoga more than most things. I have a friend that practices martial arts, and like, I'm into martial arts, but I kind of do it more for like an exercise, not so much for like a mindfulness, kind of routine. But I guess one thing I've learned in the last months is how to slow down. I have to force it, like, but I'm learning that. It's kind of like creepy. It's kind of creepy, strange to me, and maybe it's because I live in the city. I don't really know what it is, but like, you know, I've noticed it. It's like at night, you know, when I start to go to sleep, especially on busy days, like when I'm having busy weeks, when I start to go to sleep, like on the busiest days, or even not even a busy day, even if I've been relaxing, I am super just like my mind is just racing, like every thought they can flood in. It's just like, it's like we are flooding in because you are finally trying to like relax. And I haven't found a better way to combat that than like taking forced breaks during the day. And I don't mean like, you know, when you're working on something and you're like, let me take 10 to 15 and then go out and sit on in some little outdoor space on my phone texting or on Instagram. I mean just like a disconnected break. Like I'm working on a website, I'm working on something, I'm trying to like get in touch with a potential customer, I'm, you know, learning about something, I'm like actively like doing something job related, even if it's deliveries or driving around or whatever. And then I literally stop and focus on my senses, you know, focus on things like heart rate, breathing, you know, just grounding exercises and things like that. Sight, what you hear, what you experience around you. And for me, it's like I'm in the city. So if I'm outside of the house, it's always pretty much louder than it is in my house, in my room or whatever. Usually when I step outside, there's going to be traffic. There's aren't that many places I can go where there aren't, where there's not the sound of cars, the movement of cars, people walking all over the place and being in places and spaces. There's just people everywhere, like all the time. Like it's less at certain times a day. So say if I go to the beach, today's Tuesday, if I go to the beach in the morning, you know, 10 in the morning or something like that, it's not like there's going to be as many people there as there are like 1:30 p.m. on like a Saturday afternoon when everyone's off work and stuff. Like it's usually going to be a little more, well, because it's the beginning of the year, things are a little more crowded where there's outdoor spaces where people can exercise and stuff. People are kind of a little more motivated towards fitness. So even like the gym and like the beach and the parks and all the little walking paths and things are kind of more crowded than usual. Like it's not that crowded, but it's like you will see people at weird times of day where you don't normally see them at. And you know, it's you know, there's just more movement around. Like the holidays are over, we're like 2 weeks past the holidays, just past MLK Day, you know, we're a couple weeks away from the end of the first month of the year. If people have resolutions, it's like, how far are you into your resolutions? Have you started on it? Are you struggling with it? Have you gotten in your head about it? Kind of what do you have going on? But yeah, the end of, you know, this book, just kind of, that's kind of a lot of the stuff it was kind of bringing to my mind was like, you know, I don't necessarily incorporate this practice into my life necessarily as it's listed, like these kind of mindful practices. Now, I've talked to some friends about this, and I like to daydream. It's kind of like a hobby of mine. It's kind of weird to say, but I've noticed I enjoy it, and, you know, I do get these kind of racing thoughts, kind of like almost intrusive in a way. It's kind of like just usually memories. It's always just like memories of like stupid stuff that's like, you know, I'm learning to just be like ignoring it for the most part, because it's like it doesn't serve a purpose. It just kind of annoys me that it's there, and then I'm thinking about these things that I don't even want to think about, stuff that happened years ago, pretty much anything that's any kind of a mistake or something that didn't go like very well, you know, it'll come up in just memories, and I'm just like, yeah, I don't really want to spend time dwelling on this. Like I have gotten so sick of dwelling on stuff that I'm just like so over it. Like, so now when it happens, it doesn't worry me as much as it just bothers me. Like it's like an annoyance, And so, you know, daydreaming kind of takes me out of that, you know, like I can just think about some random scenario that doesn't even exist. Like, it's nothing real. It's just like, you know, my brain is just thinking about like some random thing, like, oh, what if I go to this local spot that has like, you know, these live karaoke events and maybe not even sing and just shoot some pool, and like, what would that be like just being there? Because the music there is usually pretty good and like it's a chill environment, and like I'm always getting, you know, the Instagram messages of their little local events, like it's a local spot, and like how would it be just to go and chill and like just go there and like hang out and have it be like my local spot, even if I'm there by myself, you know, maybe meet some local people, maybe not. It's pretty flexible, you know, I don't really have to talk to them if I don't want to. I'm not too interested in like going places just to like grab a drink. I mean, it helps with like talking to random people, but I don't really know. It's just things like that. I'll just like play with ideas with like, oh, maybe I could just go and like interact with like some locals, you know, at this local little hole in the wall kind of spot, and maybe start becoming a regular there and just like, you know, just go to their little events that they have when they have like open mics or something, and like support like a local little music scene. And you know, just like right down the road for me, it's like a few miles away, it's not that bad. Things like that. I'll think about like scenarios of like, what would that be like, you know? And a lot of times it's like, you know, I won't have like a negative perspective of it necessarily. But it helps me kind of test if I do, because sometimes I'll be like, oh, it's going to go wrong and like the parking's going to suck. And like, you don't want to waste the extra gas, even if it's close, and like, it'll be awkward. And what if you don't meet anybody? Or what if people think you're weird because you're there by yourself all the time? And like things like that. It's like, if my head starts going there, it's like, yeah, something's up. But if my head's just like into the idea of like, all right, like, or what if I go to this place at the pier that's got like, you know, live jazz or something, like, and just go check it out and just be there for the music or whatever. You know, like, how am I interacting with that scenario? You know, does it sound like something fun? Because naturally to me, that usually sounds like a fun option of something to do, versus is my head like super negative about it, you know, and just thinking of all the ways that it could be a bad idea, you know? And just trying to pay attention to that, and work with that. Instead of trying to sit with all the like memories of like things that like I can't do anything about, those things that already happened. And most of the things really aren't a big deal. It's me thinking about them, thinking that maybe other people remember these things. Nobody remembers anything, man. Like, most people I know can't remember hardly half of the stuff that I tell them, half the stuff that we've talked about. You know, nobody remembers these things, you know, nobody remembers them. It's me who remembers them. Like, nobody remembers this crap, you know? So, you know, I just need to remember that nobody really cares. It's something that I'm remembering and feeling like other people are remembering this too, to the level that I am. That's not true. That's not accurate. Nobody remembers these things. Even when I bring it up with people, they don't remember it. I'll be like, remember this time when we did this? And like, this person yelled at us, and they'll be like, I don't remember. Like, nobody I know remembers these things. And so it's not a big deal. If nobody else remembers it, people who were there, people who I've known since childhood don't remember these events. It's like, why the heck am I? Why is my brain holding on to it? You know, it clearly wasn't that significant to anybody else. And so, not saying that I should completely just be like, oh, like, it's not worth like paying some attention to, but it's not worth paying that much attention to. So just trying to like adjust my mindset around it. But that is, you know, if my mind's wandering, Sometimes it's something as simple as like a blood sugar thing. Something as simple as I haven't eaten properly in a while. I need to get a meal in me. How hard is that, you know? Like even today, I'm going to be out of the house for maybe 3-4 hours. You know, as I'm making my breakfast, I'm thinking, well, I'm going to be making my breakfast soon. I'm thinking, you know, I need to cook, make something for, you know, what am I going to make for lunch? You know, and we have, I think we have some leftovers. I saw like a little, foil packet of like fish sticks and fries or something like that. And I'm thinking like, yeah, we need a little bit of that. So I need a little bit of something to bring with me. So I'll probably throw that in the oven to heat it up before I take off and get out of the house. And then I'll pull over sometime around 12 and like get a meal in me. And, you know, because it's like odd hours, you know, I'm doing things at like odd hours. So, yeah, I don't want to like deny myself, you know what I mean, of being able to do stuff. But, you know, I'm not going to like eat breakfast at like 8 o'clock and then just go to like, once I get back around a little bit before 3 and like not eat anything, you know, I'm going to eat something in the middle of the day. So that's kind of something I kind of planned a little bit already for my day and little things like that, you know, because it's like, I know that if I don't eat something, I'm going to be grumpy. I'm going to work less. I'm going to be less focused. I'm going to be more foggy and I'm not going to want to work as long. And whatever I decided of how much money I'm making today, I'm not going to do it. And so little things like that where I'm like, you know, you got to kind of plan through the little issues. When you're working for yourself, you kind of have to do that. You can't just, I don't have like a 9-to-5 where I'm waking up and going to some office and somebody already has things planned and I'm working on stuff that we already all know what our roles are for the day, what we have to try to finish, what we're behind on, what we're ahead on, what's coming up the next day, the next week. Like, I'm the one who's making the plan for myself to do it. So if I don't get up and do it, it's not going to happen. It's not going to get done. But I have pretty much from the time I wake up until almost like 11 o'clock, minus the amount of time that I'm podcasting or eating or cooking, to do pretty much whatever else I need to be doing productively. You know, I'm not like on Netflix or, you know, I don't even have Netflix anymore, thankfully. I don't even care. I loved it when I had it. It was a blessing, but I'm done with it. I don't think I'm renewing any subscriptions for now. I'm just going to try to put that energy into working on stuff. But also, I need to learn how to take a break. So, you know, like, yeah, I don't know if I'm going to keep my Wednesday breaks. Maybe Wednesdays will be like a half day for me. I don't really know, but I don't know if I'm going to keep my Wednesday breaks because I need to catch up with like almost a month and a half of just not having everything where I could like actually get work done. So, and I guess the last thing that kind of stuck out to me, like, I don't know, this other stuff that all the stuff I just said isn't necessarily on topic, but I'm just talking about, like, I don't have a routine that looks like, you know, this, like, prayerful morning routine. I feel like it wouldn't have to happen in the morning, but ideally morning makes sense to me. Any time of day would be fine, but I feel like for myself, mornings are where I have the most space to kind of like make stuff go a certain way and kind of plan things out, because that's when I do plan out my day. I do plan out my days because my days can vary. I have like various things that I'm working on throughout the day, throughout the week. So I have to actually plan it out. Like, I don't have, like I said, I'm not going into a 9-to-5 with my day and like things already planned for me. Like, I'm planning out my day. But there is structure to my week, which is why I was saying I'm debating on this Wednesday, the Wednesday that I usually take free. I was doing that for my mental health. It's more of like a mental health choice. Like, I work best off of like a 4-day work week. Like, so for me, Mondays and Tuesdays, I'm pretty energetic Mondays and Tuesdays. Usually Wednesdays, if I take Wednesday off, Thursday I'm energetic. If I don't take Wednesday off, I'm tanking by Wednesday already. And then by Thursday, I'm pretty much done for. And then Friday is like, I'm useless, but it's Friday, so I've got that Friday momentum. Just because it's Friday and the next day is Saturday. And I don't really like that. And so that's why I was taking Wednesdays free, because I'm like, it actually makes me more productive for the last 2 days of the week. And then Saturday, I'm completely out of the picture. Saturdays are my day. But Sundays are probably my best money-making day. Because Sundays are the days everyone else is resting. Sundays are the days I'm out, you know, not resting. Usually Sundays are the days that I'm, you know, Sundays are like the biggest grind day for me. Because if anyone knows how it's like for LA traffic, it sucks. So anything that involves driving or going to like do gigs and things like that, Sundays work for me because it's so efficient, because nobody else is out. Everybody's home or not even on the road, you know, consistently, to the point that there's like massive traffic until maybe 6 p.m. or so. So I'm usually, you know, pedal to the metal on Sundays, if I need to be. And I like to be, because, you know, that's why I think a lot of people are like, I hate Sundays, you know. I mean, I hate Mondays. People hate Mondays. Usually by Monday, it's like I'm finishing what I started on Sunday. Like, I'm not coming off of a 2-day weekend usually. But I don't know. I think Fridays are kind of like a useless day for me to get work done. In all honesty, I don't really get a lot done. There's always too much traffic on Fridays. There's too much everything going on Fridays. I usually don't get anything done on Fridays. I can't remember the last Friday I actually had like a productive day. Like, I have like pretend productive days where I like try, but like I'm not really getting a lot done on Fridays. And so I might just start taking Fridays and Saturdays and Wednesdays off, keep my Wednesdays off, and then just plow through like I've been doing, because that's where my energy naturally goes. So just recognizing that about myself. And then, you know, the book goes into talking about this flame. I mean, the first thing that kind of comes to my mind, you know, is, you know, when I was younger, I liked to play with fire, like literally get these little lighters and like, you know, play with firecrackers, like little firecrackers, not like anything that's gonna like, you know, do anything, like at most like bottle rockets, but like firecrackers, like just the little things that like spin around on the ground, like spark around and stuff. And like, you know, I wasn't really into like smoking or anything, but like I always like to carry a little lighter with me. And like, you know, I grew up around a beach culture, you know, bonfires aren't unfamiliar. We'd have a lot of bonfires going on, a lot of, you know, fire related things, you know, happening, and, you know, camping and stuff like that. Like, there'd be like, we went to this summer camp, and I think a winter camp too, where there was this little miniature stadium outdoors that they called the Fire Bowl. And so we would sit, I just barely remember that name, and we would just do, like, campfire songs, and it was a Christian camp, so they'd have prayers and stuff, too. I think we did that near meal times. Like, we'd have, it was kind of like worship in the morning and night, but all the cabins would meet there and sit with their cabin and, like, sing camp songs, sing some church songs, and then, you know, play, you know, sing songs, camp songs, and then, you know, church songs, and then there'd be, like, some kind of prayer, and then we'd go to the cafeteria for the meal. But I guess the main thing that stuck out to me was, like, just fire in general. Even in a fireplace, like, this time of year, people, it's cold, you know, people have heaters, people have fireplaces going, you know, and even, you know, people who, I like to, like, light incense and stuff like that, candles, and just in general, like, one thing that I notice is with the fire, you know, like, the example that they gave about, like, that person taking a fire out of their chest, giving a small flame to somebody else builds that flame, gives a small flame to somebody else, it's like, you could realistically do that, like, not, like, with the chest heart thing, but, like, if you've been to, like, a candlelight vigil or something like that, where somebody takes a flame and passes it to the next candle and passes it to the next candle, something like that. Like, a flame can be continuously passed. And as long as that flame is grown large enough to pass to the next person and they grow their flame large enough to pass to the next person, I don't know how long you can sustain that. You can sustain that maybe infinitely. I don't really know. So just the process of it, you know, somebody puts work into starting a fire, whether that's modern day, you know, simple lighter, or like you're building it out of rubbing sticks with like some kind of spark onto like some kind of dry tinder, or, you know, you're using some kind of flint for camping, kind of like sparking it onto some kind of tinder or something. I mean, the spark isn't already there. You have to build it somehow, even if it's, like, with a lighter. You have to, the first person has to make it, right? So somebody has to make that initial flame. And even if it's something where you're building, like, a bonfire, or you're building, like, bonfires out here are pretty common, so I'll stick with the bonfire analogy. You know, you can have a small fire that doesn't even come out of the pit. And the way you manage it is, like, when you see it's going low, if you don't put more, you know, logs or wood or whatever on it to burn, it's not going to keep burning. You know, it requires some kind of, you know, dry something so that it can like keep burning. Either oil or wax or a wick or something that's going to like keep it maintained. You could maintain it, you can just keep it low and just be like, okay, the fire is low, but we're still okay. When we wake up, we can just build it up real quick, blow some air on it, you know, to keep it going, to get it going higher again, or feed it with some kind of dry wood or something. Like, it's possible to make it so that you have a fire that keeps going, and even if you kind of like maintain it, right? And so it's kind of like an example in our own lives. It's like, you know, if we don't have love in us, you know, it's possible to start having it. You have to just actively focus on making it happen, but then you still have to feed it. If you want more, you have to feed it, you know. If you want your mood to be different, you have to feed something to make that happen. If you want to feel different, you have to feed something to make that happen. It's not just going to happen, you wake up overnight. Like, maybe if it's a sleep deprivation issue or, like, an insomnia issue, then, like, yeah, sleeping well might just be the thing that fixes it. But if that's not all that it is, because a lot of times that's not all that it is, like, insomnia and things like that usually come from other things. It's usually a sign from some other issue going on. It's not usually something that just happens in a vacuum. Like, just like if you're all of a sudden feeling irritable about something, that doesn't happen in a vacuum either. It's either like you need to eat, or you need, like, something's going on where you're like lacking, where you're not feeling well, you know? So it's like there's all these things in our lives, which is why I was talking earlier about my whole like strange like morning routines and how I can adjust things, how I have been adjusting things and all that, is like there's these things that need to be adjusted that we kind of feed into them, and you know, it's up to us to kind of like to feed these things that we're lacking. The problem I notice is that, first of all, a lot of people, I mean, I'm not trying to knock people's styles, but a lot of people sleep up to the wire. So it's like I need to start getting up. You know, I know how much I need to sleep just so I can get ready to go to work. And so if you sleep right up until you have to wake up and be busy right away, you don't have that buffer in the morning to kind of do anything with that. And same at night, if you just go and work right until you have to sleep, you're like, I know exactly when I need to start going to bed so I can fall asleep and like sleep enough. But it's like, then you're not like working on all the stuff that you need to work on. You're not feeding any of it. You know, so anything you're trying to build up, you have to have some time routinely to like feed that, you know. Just like if you're reading a book, I mean, you're not going to finish the book if you don't read the next pages. Like, you have to read the pages of the book to finish it. You have to, you know, if you're learning something, you have to get through the material somehow, little by little. I mean, you can binge or, you know, cram. That's usually not the most effective technique. A lot of times it'll get the job done. I've crammed with things before at a time in my life where I could cram and actually remember a whole bunch of stuff at once, but that's not possible anymore. But, you know, it takes a while for things to kind of settle in for me now, a long while. And now I know it's like, okay, I need more time to learn things, more time to do things, more time to like adjust to like changing things. Things take me more time now than they ever did before. And, you know, that's a whole other thing to have to work with. And so, I don't know, just trying to think about it, like, you know, where are you coming from? What do you need? What does your mind and body need? What are the necessities? Are you giving yourself those necessities or scrimping on them, or, you know, just ignoring them or avoiding them? Usually when people don't feel well, or when they're not doing well for a while, it's because something is going missing. You know, something's not being fed, you know, even if it is a specific love thing, or you know, something's just not being fed. And so, you know, I think that is like a good visual to kind of think of, like a flame, because it can burn out, but you can always light it up again. But you still have to take the effort to light it up, and then you have to take the effort to manage it. And it's okay if it's going to die down a little bit, but it's going to be more work to start it up from fresh and from scratch than it will be to kind of like slightly build up a little bit of like embers that are still kind of like there. You know, just spark those up and like create a bigger fire out of it. For people who smoke, they kind of understand that. You know, even if you're not lighting fires in places, you kind of understand, like, if you're smoking a bowl or, you know, lighting up anything, like a joint or a cigarette or a cigar or whatever it is that you're lighting up to smoke, you know, it still applies, you know. I guess the issue is whatever you're smoking is eventually going to deplete itself the more you smoke it, unless you keep adding more to that little bit of, you know, the embers, and you're usually not burning it. Like, it's not like a flame that's just like continuously like a fire. Like, it's just burning, and it's the air that's kind of feeding it. And so, I don't know. It's just a lot of food for thought. I like the book. I don't know what book is going to be next. I will need to figure that out in my own time. If I am going to do a book or not, I don't really know. This book, it was a fun experience, but I kind of had to push it. Like, I really wasn't into reading this book. I just didn't want to not finish it. I liked it, but I was kind of over it at a certain point, to be honest. I was kind of, like, not interested in it anymore. Even though it's a really good book, just because of the time. I like to finish short books in a short amount of time. I took, like, probably an extra 4 months longer than I probably should have on this. But it was more like a little project. But, like, you guys can even see, I'm not perfect with this kind of stuff. I stumble around with it too, and I'm like I slack on stuff, or like just miss the mark on things too, just like anybody else, at times. But I do try to get things back on track. But it's been a very helpful book to kind of like think about mindset, management of mindset, and yeah, I gotta get my morning going. So with that, it's the end of this book, the end of the Four Agreements. These are my perspectives on it and kind of what comes to my mind. It's not going to be the same for everybody. But all right. Thanks for listening.